Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, John Main, 35 riders,
that's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling. Now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nothing. Why I run?
I hustle hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Maine, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling. Now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts. That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke. That's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling. Now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts. Why I run.
Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. I thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now was Kush only. Grind hard. That's so hard, push homie. Back then I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool cause I'ma ride on 84. I had nothing so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run this city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts, that's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost. Yeah, I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke, that's why I run. I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts, why I run.
I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle.
All of my business. These niggas ain't talking about shit, so they dead to me. No feelings, you leave your girl around me, nigga. I bet her ass come up missing. And some of these niggas be hating cause they washed up like this. Yeah, I run with them killers. Real niggas never get worried. She think it's fucking her pussy pink. Same color as Kirby. I don't show that ass no mercy. Swallow my kids, bitch, if you thirsty. And I don't be fucking around with them strippers. I make it wave on them. Surfing, yeah, my money talking. She Molly talking. She throw it back and then bust it open. Call up about 10 bitches then knock them down. I'm going bowling. She know I don't like that tease. And don't like the way. And I'd be damned if I leave this club. It's off the chain because I... me tonight. I hope a pussy cleaner than baby wipes. I ain't got a problem, but you got problems with me, then goons will take your life. My money right, my blood tight. She wanna ride like hitchhiker. I ball hard, knee hating niggas can't keep watching my highlights. You dead right and that's broke out. You turn up to get turned out. You niggas moving that small weight. You move heavyweight like you haul. My money stacking up too tall, so no, you can't see me. And when she bend it over, I quarterback that pussy RG3. My strap is never on safety. I let these hoes in with no key and I can't talk about what you talking about. If you ain't talking T-R-U-B, infrared in your face like your ID. So I know you got a lot of shit on your mind. And why should I worry about these fuck niggas? Shit, I'm focused on getting mine and get things. Tripping, get wasted. You running after these hoes, but see they running me. They chasing. If time is money, I'm impatient. That nigga in the way, erase them. You niggas smoking that bullshit, and we higher than a spaceship. I need me a pussy vacation. This weather dang Cancun. Yeah, she might be your wife, but tonight she butt naked in my room. We fucked up off of them shrooms, so you already know it's a party. You pussy niggas look sorry, and we rolling in the Ferrari. With
Alrighty, welcome to Global 14. The Crack Goes Down every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific. Host Onyx on the line with you also. The homie Golden Fleece, what's good?
Ah, man. Christmas is what's good. Yo, let me tell you something, man.
Don't
I talked about
like
it last week.
I talked about it last week,
and I got to talk about
it
again
last
this week.
The week before last,
that the holidays was coming up. I love the holidays, but at the same time, it bogs you down too. And that's just how I'm feeling. Like, it's a good feeling, but then I got to hit the malls, I got to catch the sales, it's just crazy. And that's just how I'm feeling, man. But always happy to be on the show every Wednesday, so... It's another one. We got a great show lined up today, so I'm excited about that.
I know. That's something to pump me up, because, I mean, after the day gig joint, I got to tell you, I pulled a 15-hour shift yesterday, so then I turned around and did the regular one today, so you got to get the money like it's the song in the background.
Of course. I mean, I just actually literally touched down in the plane today from New York. Straight to do the show, you know what I'm saying? So you know how we move, you know what I'm saying? But
absolutely. It definitely is what it is. Well, tonight we like you said, exciting night. Two special guests actually this evening. It's been a while since we doubled up with two. So we have DJ Wu-Tang Clan, legendary hip-hop crew Wu-Tang Clan, their DJ Mathematics will be on, so that's going to be dope. And then we also have, I can't wait. And then actually, I didn't even know that he did the logo, their logo. Did he know that? I didn't know he's responsible for their logo. I think that is so dope because everybody knows that symbol. So that is so important.
It's worldwide.
I'm asking about that.
A serious brand.
That's a real deal right there. Yeah, it's crazy. So we have them coming on. And then also there's an independent label, Breadwinner Music Group, out of Houston, Texas. Keystone is the CEO. He actually was on our show when we first got going back in like March, I think, something like that last year. And he's better, you know, mostly known for his partnership with TV Johnny and Company and Paul Wall. Their custom diamond jewelry and grills on wheels and all of that. They're everywhere. And so his artist, Jaystone, is actually going to be joining us tonight. R&B recording artist whom I happen to have known since I was like 8 or 9. We had the same class, same teacher, and he's been singing since then. So it's kind of dope to fast forward however many years. We don't need to say how many. But it's nice to fast forward 2 decades, and here we are today. So he'll be on the show as well. I'm debuting his second album, I want to say, to date, Hudderstone. So nice. Going to be exciting.
Nice.
Exciting tonight. And everyone that's first time listening in, we have a lot of people that are listening in for the first time. So just so you guys know, this is the station via Jermaine Dupri's Global 14. And .com, so you guys can go over there, check out his website, and network, link up, and all of that. And shout out to him and Mariah Carey. They're actually holding down, I don't know where they're at, but the NBC Christmas special tonight.
It's big.
Yeah,
you know, Rockefeller Center, the lighting of the tree, the Christmas special.
Yeah, the lighting of the
everything
tree.
Everything that goes
during this
time. So Mariah's doing that out there tonight, so. Shout out to Mariah and JD. You know, that's huge, man. That's like world. Even though that takes place in New York every year, that's a worldwide thing. Like, people watch that. You know, Rockefeller Center, that's tradition right there. You know, you got one of the biggest voices in music ever, you know what I'm saying, going to represent for that. So shout out to Mariah Carey and Jermaine. I know he was burning the midnight oil out there. If you look, follow his Instagram and see his pictures.
Yeah.
You know, you see him getting prepared for all this. So it's a big stuff going on, man.
Most definitely. I did not know where the actual location was in New York. So I'm so glad that you just knew that. And everybody else also, make sure that you do pick up the Social Best. They have the Christmas album. JD has produced some of the best Christmas songs that you listen to. You haven't even known. So he does have all of those on a compilation, so you can pick those up this holiday season as well. So that's that. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that tweeted Golden about getting on the show, being featured, and had a couple tweets and text messages coming through also, especially because everyone from where I'm from is kind of familiar with Jaystone and Keystone. So can you let them know how we do things here on the show?
Most definitely, man. I actually had to explain it in New York when I was there. I met a couple of people at the event that I went to, and when they found out that I did the show, they were like, you know, how can we get on? So basically, it's all about connecting with us, man. Hit us up on the Twitters. Hit us up on global14.com. Onyx is Onyx254 on Twitter. I'm The Glue on Twitter, THAGLUE. And like I always say, when you hit us up, if you're trying to promote a single or a mixtape, just give us a little background on what you're trying to do, where you're from, so that we can release it the right way when we do have our shows. You can hit us up on global14.com. Onyx is Onyx254 on there. I'm Golden Fleece on there. You can hit us with a private message, actually just displaying the same thing that I told you about the Twitter. Hit us up with the music, what you're trying to do, what you're promoting, so we can roll it out the right way. Our shows that we do for independent artists, we play the music. Anybody that wants to call in and give love to the music, they can do that. You know, we throw in our 2 cents, and you never know who's on the show that's going to throw in their 2 cents. Could be A&Rs, DJs, so if your shit is dope, DJ might scoop it up right there. You never know. But always holler at us, man. We definitely try to get everybody that hollers at us about music. You feel what I'm saying? So if we didn't get to yours yet, trust me, we get into it. It will be played But listen to the shows every Wednesday because we have special guests all the time, and you never know who's stopping through or when we're going to do the Independent Artist Show.
That's right. All righty. So, again, you guys, we'll get into, if we have any time tonight, we'll do the news portion. But, again, we do have two special guests up next right now. First is actually D'Ala Mathematics, DJ and producer, and so much more, Wu-Tang Clan. So it's going to be a nice interview. We're going to bring him on the line shortly here. Take a quick break. I'll come back, let him introduce some records that he has, and we'll do just like that. Global 14 The Cut.
Yo, I got it. I'ma direct my next video.
What you gonna do?
I can see it now.
In the Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes, top down, streaming out money in the bank. Yo, I'm sick of this, man. How much did that?
Hey, 100 grand. You see it? Act like you want it.
I need a new Bentley anyway.
There you go. It's always one fun.
I think I got some extra money in here, too.
Yeah, whatever. Let's bet.
I want to get off the dock. Come on. Across the board, we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up. Slacking on your pimping, turn it up. See the money in the bag.
Flex the bro, sign a check for your hoe. Jigga style is love, X and O. Save all your accolades, just the dough. My game is wide, all names aside. Trying to stay alive, 100,000 for the bracelet. Foolish ain't I, the chain to strain your eye. Twin platinum gun, son, aim for the sky. Ice on my bullet, you die soon as I pull it. Willies wanna rub shoulders, your money's too young. See me when it gets older, your bank account grow up. Mine's is 1000 old up. Damn near out the rear trunk when I roll up. Moti till I close up, it's all basic. I've been spending hundreds since they had small faces. Rob your stash out, doubled out down in Vegas. Me and JD got it locked crazy. Where you at, haters?
Jaguar switching four lanes, top down, streaming out money in the bank.
Bubble hard in the double R, flashing the rings with the window crack. Holla back, money ain't a thing.
Nigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam. Gleam in the hell with the price, but the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bing. When you hit the bricks, new whip, money ain't a thing. Y'all want to floss with us? Cause all across the board we burn it
nah,
up.
Nah, yo, we need cars.
Drop a little paper, baby, toss it
fast
up.
Fast one.
Slacking on your pimpin', turn it up. Yeah. See the money ain't a thing.
Can't stick, I live the life. Eating crab, watching bitches shake shit all night. I make the big moves, do the big thing. Take small groups, turn them into big names. The big dog with the big chains. Frostbit bracelet, the match. Can't say I'm the shit, man. Type of nigga that you need, recruit. Type of dude that'll do shit you won't do. Can't do, get more burned than a candle. Too hot to hold, too much to handle. In the black sea low, he know. If she look, she go. Bye-bye with Dada, and I ain't gotta say no more. I'm the truth like AI. Got the proof and stay fly. In the safest shit you could never buy. Know why? Cause I write the songs that the whole world sing. I don't know about y'all, but every night I swing. The Ferrari or Jaguar, switching four lanes. Top down, streaming out, money ain't a thing.
Bubble hard in the double R, flashing the rings. With the window crack, holla back, money ain't a thing.
Jigga, I don't like it if it don't gleam. Gleam in the hell with the price of the money ain't a thing.
Put it down hard for my dogs that's locked in the bang. When you hit the bricks, new whips, money ain't a thing.
Yeah, I wanna block with us. Across the board, we burn it up. Drop a little paper, baby, toss it up. Slacking on your pimpin', turn it up. See the money in the bank.
It ain't for real till y'all ship a mill. And y'all hit a R&B.
JD, money ain't a thing. Man, I remember where I was, man, when I heard that record. Him and Jay-Z, man. Shout out to Jermaine Dupri, money ain't a thing. We definitely about to bring up a La Mathematics Wu-Tang Clan member, DJ, legendary brand here, man. The Clan is worldwide, you know. The many MCs that it spawned off from Method Man, Raekwon, Ghostface Killer, Old Dirty Bastard, rest in peace, Master Killer. Let's see if we got Mathematics on the line right now. I'm very, very, very excited about this interview because we grew up on the Wu-Tang Clan, man, very huge. So we want to definitely get into what DJ Mathematics has going on right now because he does have an album coming out. And we're going to let everybody know that listens to The Cut what's going on with him for the future and get some good stories about the Wu, man. Everybody loves to know about those guys. They've been around forever, and they've been doing their thing consistently forever. So let's see if we got them on the line.
We most definitely do. We got them on right now, live. What's good, DJ Mathematics?
Peace. What's good? What's good? What's going on? What's up? What's up, everybody?
Peace, Mathematics. How you doing, brother? It's definitely a pleasure for us to have you online with The Cut, Global 14, man. This is an honor. Wu-Tang Clan in the building, man. Respect for coming through and spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you, man. You know, it's an honor, you know, for y'all having me. You know, you got part of me. I'm a little under the weather fighting this, you know what I mean, cold, but yeah, I'm here.
Ah, that's what's up, man. Well, we're going to definitely get right into it, man. You know, definitely big-time stuff going on with the Wu-Tang Clan over the years, man, a lot of years, man. I think you guys just had an anniversary. I don't want to stunt the years. Was it a 20-year anniversary?
Yeah, it was a 20-year anniversary, yeah, indeed, 20 years ago.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, well, everybody listening to the show, you know, as an artist, if you could span 20 years in this game, woo, that's a long journey right there, man, and that's a testament. That's a testament. Yeah, it's an amazing testament to the fortitude and the strength of Wu-Tang Clan. But Mathematics, you got some dope stuff going on right now, man, and I definitely want to start the interview, but what we want to do is drop a joint you got that's out right now off the new project that you got going on, The Answer. We got Shorty that we want to drop, and that's featuring Capadonna, Master Killer, and JNY, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, indeed.
All right, cool, man. So if you can introduce that joint right there, we're going to go to that joint, then we're going to come right back and get into what DJ Alaa Mathematics has going on.
All right, cool. Yeah, this is Alaa Mathematics right here for the Wu-Tang Clan, and I want y'all to check out my new joint right here, Shorty, featuring Master Killer, Capadonna, and JNY.
Let's get it.
Yeah.
moving, my shine fell out. Told her what's good, another line fell out. We sat for a while, speaking on various topics. She told me how she always liked to be in the tropics. Grabbed her hand gently, looked dead in the optics. She kinda spiritual, like she be with the prophets. Even though we just met, like something wanna stop us. We kept conversating, feeling the hotness. She giving me feedback, now I'm feeling I got this. Educated, brown skin, intellectual. Tell me what I gotta do to stay right next to you. Maybe I was blessed with you, I could be your soulmate. We only have a minute now, but we can make a whole day. Yeah, baby girl, you made my whole day. A true queen, when I spot a good man. You could have anything in this world except cream.
Everything. I tried to avoid it, got off at the wrong stops, even took the long blocks, trying out the barber heads. Now I'm in the barbershop, building with the guard choir. Homie walks in, I pay it no attention. He ice grilling, screw facing, saying little slick shit. Mad cause I'm fucking his broad. But the whole ill shit is shorty kept it real and told him how she felt. But son couldn't handle that. Spent a lot of paper and effort to win her love back. Normally I'll, but this is personal. And you got a daughter with her. Stay a healthy father figure, word to the wise. A lot of men killed for wives who wasn't worth it. Got herself in real beef and couldn't hold it. Felt jerk, pride hurt, emotionally driven headfirst into a bullet. Suicide, all praises due to Most High. I strive to stay humble, warn him of his wicked ways before I murder some.
DJ Mathematics, Wu-Tang Clan. I definitely had to let him introduce that track, shorty. Definitely feeling that one real smooth, right, loving the singing. We got him on live on the line now to go ahead and get started with his interview, so I'm excited about it. Let's go.
Yeah, that was the shorty joint right there, man. I love that joint right there, man. That really bring it back right there, man. The hard drums, the R&B in there, Cap, Master Killer, man, straight Wu-Tang stuff, man, I love it. I love it a lot, man. First of all, you know, before we get to the interview, what made y'all drop that joint right there, man? Because that really reminded me of how, you know, when Ghost dropped his joint with Neo and, you know, different joints like that. Why did you want to come with a joint for the ladies, man?
Well, actually, it was just a feel-good joint, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, if you like, you know, it's like most of the album is definitely, like, hardcore, and even though that one is hard, too, but it's smooth, and it was just a feel-good record, you know what I mean? And, yeah, it's like, you know, I always, like, when I made that joint, I always liked it, so,
right.
You know, and, you know, I got the video for it, too, so the visual, you know, you can check it out on YouTube, the visual is definitely, you know, helps bring out what's being said, and at the same time, it's not your ordinary type of song as far as, like, what everybody else is putting out. Just try to,
right,
do something different.
You know? Oh, man, I love it, man. I saw the video, man. Real crispy joint. Real crispy video. Love the storyline in it. You know, them shorty tied up between two dudes. You know, they living right around each other. You know what I'm saying? She's sneaking, doing this and that. Real dope video, man. Real dope concept. First of all, man, let's get into it, man. Wu-Tang Clan, legendary hip-hop. Man, I don't even like saying crew, man. The movement was so crazy that it was just like a global brand, and still is. You know what I'm saying? I have to ask you, man, how did you get started in what became a worldwide phenomenon called the Wu-Tang Clan?
Well, actually, I started DJing for GZA, like, when he was on Cold Chillin', you know, as the Genius on, you know, Come Do Me. So, you know, that was right. Pre-Wu-Tang. And, you know, a lot of Justice, that's the GZA. He's the, you know, I'm from Southside, Queens. And right. He has family out there, plus he used to stay out there. So my brother Infinite hooked me up with him. He was a dope MC, you know, and I was a DJ, you know. And, you know, not to toot my horn, but I was a dope DJ. So, you know, kind of put us together. So I was rocking with GZA from then. And, I was with him on the Cold Chillin' days. So it just was just a natural progression as far as, like, once the Wu-Tang thing started. Because, you know, GZA's cousin is RZA, you know, an old dirty bastard, you know, God bless the dead. And the funny thing about it, I knew RZA. Like, you know, from you know, I knew RZA before I knew GZA, actually, from the rallies, you know, the Universal Parliaments of the Gods and Earths.
Right.
And when I hooked up with GZA, I remember GZA was like, yo, my cousin's shooting a video in Queens. You know, this is like a little later. He's like, yo, go through. So when I went through, and it was RZA. So that's when I found out they were cousins. And then after that, that's crazy. RZA, at the time, he had just got signed to Tommy Boy. So, you know, and what happened, that didn't work out, you know. And
well, was that the Prince Rakim days?
Yeah, the Prince Rakim days, exactly. Oh, we love you, Rakim, and yeah. You know what I mean? So that didn't work out. So then, you know, RZA, you know, being how he is, he always had, like, a plan, and, you know, he looked further in the future than a lot of people.
Right.
You know, like people I know, you know, you could say average people, but nobody's actually average. It's just how you express yourself and bring yourself out. But, you know, he was one that tapped into certain things early, and he already seen what he wanted to do. So I remember when he first started talking about the movement of Wu-Tang, he was still on Tommy Boy. And, like, I did all aspects of hip-hop. I did, you know, from breakdancing to popping to MCing to graffiti. So, you know, I did graffiti as well. You know, this is all before I started DJing.
Right.
And you know, he knew I did graffiti. So, you know, when he was talking about it, like, he was getting some stickers. He wanted some stickers printed up, and he asked me to do the stickers, the Wu-Tang stickers. So I did the original Wu-Tang stickers. Like, if you ever seen them, you know, it was way back, probably like 90, 91, something like that. And he was still on Tommy Boy, but it never transpired through Tommy Boy. So then, when everything kind of went sour, I remember, like, me and GZA, like, trying to do joints, trying to get the next deal. And, you know, RZA was doing the same thing. And I remember we used to travel out to Staten Island to go see him. You know, brother, I hooked up with, like, GZA, Old Dirty, Master Killer, you know, my brother Envy, hop on the train to the ferry, get out to Staten Island, go see RZA. Then, you know, I started bumping to other brothers out there, like, you know, Deck and Meth. Ray and Ghost, I knew, you know, from RZA. But RZA traveled, like, you know, RZA, like, Ray had traveled RZA a lot. Ghost had traveled RZA a lot, too. So I already knew them brothers. But I met Meth and Deck going to check RZA. And, you know, I mean, he was first doing certain joints, like you know, producing, and, like, it was joints he did, like before the M-E-T-H-O-D, man, like the Ice Cream Man, and, you know, even when, like, Cream had, like, four verses, like, those was, like really the early days. So, yeah, so basically, you know, once he started doing his Wu-Tang thing, like, you know, at the time, like I said, when me and GZA was trying to do joints, like, you know, we didn't really know what production was, you know. And I remember, like, Eric Sermon, you know, he's a brother, you kind of made me realize the same thing, because I heard him say the same thing. Like, he didn't realize that he was a producer when he, you know, when he was first making beats.
Right.
He was just making beats, trying to get on. You didn't realize he was really, you know, a producer. So, but what happened with RZA, RZA was already producing. He was sick with the SP-12, and, you know, so we'll have to go check him. He used to have so many joints, and, you know, it was like I just fell back and just played my part, you know, as a DJ. And then, you know what I mean? And,
right.
And then it was like when he first did, like, Protect Your Neck, and the reverse side was After the Laughter, Tears. And he was like, yo, I'm going
right.
to put him up tomorrow. I need a logo. You know what I mean? And, yeah, when he gave me that call, I was like, all right, when you need it. He said, tomorrow. So I was like, all right.
You had to
I
get
got
him.
Yeah,
the Wu-Tang
yeah.
Clan logo, man, that's crazy, man, because, I mean, you know, I done traveled all around the world, B. You could be on an island somewhere in the Caribbean in the poorest part of the country. Some kid is gonna run out with that shirt with that logo on, man. You definitely went into a lot there. I just want to bring it back a little bit and just make a quick statement, because, you know, when Wu-Tang Clan was formed, you know, this was something out of the ordinary, man. There was a lot of people putting crews together and things like that, but you know, the Juice Crew, Strong MCs, you know, you had different MCs like that that were formed together. Wu-Tang was a little bit different, man, because of even though there was street elements in different people that would be in rap crews, you didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? You didn't really know their background. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Explain how a bunch of cats that got together, and you telling us RZA already had this vision, is even crazier when he was on Tommy Boy, because there's so many entities of people in this group. You're a producer. RZA's a producer. All the MCs, all this talent. How did y'all come about harnessing that into one and coming out with a movement that was strong and concise? I could see a bunch of brothers getting together and can't making that shit happen, like falling out before it even started. How did y'all make this to where this is exactly how we're going to do it? Is RZA that strong a mind that he kept all of that talent and personality under control?
Well, I think it was the vice versa of control, because it was all natural, because it's like, even, you know, like I said, he's seen it before. I would say all of us seen it. You know what I mean? Like, he said
right.
it, but because, like you said, you had the Juice Crew, you had you know, you had the Deaths. Well, not the Deaths Squad at the time. It was you know, it was what you call it? You know, EPMD, Das Effect, the Hit Squad. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's like his whole idea was to come together as a group and then go out and do your soul thing. And, you know, and at that time it was unheard of for a group to come together and then for somebody to go out and get soul deals. So, you know, and he wouldn't have shopped the deal like that. So it was kind of crazy because, you know, he was turned down, you know what I mean? And somebody like Russell Simmons, he was like, you know what, I can't do that deal, but if you can get that deal done, I'll take Method Man. You know what
no,
I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so and he got the deal done with Steve Rifkin, you know what I mean? And everybody thought, all the labels and everybody thought Steve Rifkin was crazy for doing the deal. But in turn, it kind of helped everybody, all the other labels out, because now labels had to work together. You know what
right,
I mean? It's like,
right.
Like Def Jam had to work with Elektra because of Dirty, you know what I mean? And Geffen because of GZA. Yeah, you know, and then Loud was in the with RCA, and they was in the middle of everything, you know. Yeah, but I think it was the opposite of control, but just letting it go natural. And he had a certain idea, and to this day, he still have a certain idea, you know. And for me, knowing how RZA is, sometimes it's hard for me, you know, and me being me. You know, my name is Mathematics, the law of mathematics. Everything
right.
I see everything based on principles of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And scientifically, everything is shown improved, so I like to get into the details of things, you know what I mean?
Right,
but,
right.
But it's hard for me to doubt him because it's like, you know, he sees it and he goes for it. And what he manifested, like you said, is 20 years later, you know?
Crazy.
And, yeah, but it was all natural. You know, nowadays it's more a little different because, you know, we was a lot younger.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like now we grown men, we grew, we developed, you know, more personality has come into each individual and everybody,
right.
You know. So, you know, even though, you know, we see eye to eye, we don't see, everybody's not going to see everything eye to eye, you know. So,
right, yeah, of course you're going to have your differences. I mean, it's different personalities and, you know, you're touching on so many great things that I hope all of our listeners out there listen. You know, me and Onyx always talk about the music industry and the developments in the music industry. Right now, you know, we talking about 90s that paved the way for a lot of kids today. But the structure of a deal, that was so important that you just said what you said, and I'm going to reiterate it a little bit because that is unheard of for somebody to come in and say, we got all these members and we want to come in as a group, but we're going to separate and go to a bunch of different record labels, and y'all all going to have to work together because we still a group. That's crazy,
right?
Shit, now that you said that, and I'm listening back like, well, damn, RZA knew that Method Man would end up on Def Jam and Raekwon would end up here and here, and all these people would have to say, hey, even though that's our solo artist, we still got to deal with Steve Rifkin and Loud because of the Wu-Tang Clan. That's bananas.
Right. Yeah, and you know, it was crazy at that. Yeah, like it was unheard of. Nowadays, you got everybody trying to do it, and then
right.
You know, it's been replicated so much. And I remember, like back even to the late '90s, early 2000s, you know, it was called a Wu-Tang deal. You know what I mean? It's like with Rockefeller, they had a Wu-Tang deal, and Rough Riders, they got a Wu-Tang deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, Baby in them, you know, as far as like
Cash Money.
You know,
right.
Yeah, that was a Wu-Tang deal. You know, that's what, you know what I mean? So it became the norm, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Now everybody definitely getting deals like that. Now you're right. But just to be the first over the mountain and have that type of success at it, you know what I'm saying, it is the reason why, you know, we were so excited to have you on here because the history of music and what we do is really important to Onyx and I. We talk about it all the time, you know what I'm saying? And plus we have young people that listen to the show that are aspiring artists. So, you know, when they hear these type of things and hear how people are thinking, we love that even more because once you think – and you say, hey, I got talent to rap or sing, but you actually think of what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it, that helps out a lot of people. So I really appreciate you telling us the history of how that thought process went on the Wu-Tang Clan. But there's so much about it, man, and I want to get in the production side of it because you are a crazy producer. For those who don't know, a lot of Mathematics has produced some ill Wu-Tang joint. Can you name off a few that you've produced?
You. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, no doubt, brother, no doubt.
You know, I did joints like Publicity for GZA, Cobra Clutch for Ghostface, Mighty Healthy for Ghostface. Yeah, I can't even think right now. But, yeah, I did some, you know, some joints in there. I got some joints in there.
Now, the reason why I wanted to ask, because that's a big staple of Wu-Tang Clan, man. That music was very piercing, man, from, you know, the beats that RZA did, the beats that you did, the beats that True Master did. Like, a lot of it was, do you hear the production? Right, you know what I'm saying? Crazy joints, man. Did you guys know that, yo, listen, if we're going to make music out there, we got to make music that's going to last for a long time. Did you know about the elements that you were putting in this music that it was going to last? Did you know from the foundation of production that if we do it this certain way, it'll last? Because a lot of people, they come and they go.
Yeah. Well, that's what we was trying to do because it's like we all grew up as fans of, you know, like from hip-hop, but, you know, pre-hip-hop, we, you know, even nowadays the youth, you know, we got a lot of young fans because nowadays, because they listen because of their parents. And the same, you know, we had the same effect on us because we had a lot of songs that we liked because of our parents. I mean, like if you go to the Motown, you know, like I love the Motown sound. My parents loved it. So right. I would hear like songs like Marvin Gaye and The Temptations, like My Girl and stuff like that, you know. And those is timeless songs too, because you can still play that to this day, you know what I mean? And people know the words and sing it. So, I mean, you know, it gave you inspiration or motivation to try to do the same thing.
Right.
You know, just try to make, you know, we always battle each other anyway, you know, that's how we kept our sword sharp, you know, it's like, you know, that's why even like with Kendrick, like, you know, what he said, I wasn't mad at him because you're supposed to feel like that as an MC, like you're the best.
Right.
And that's how, and when you get on a track with somebody, nowadays you got to me personally, you know, this is my opinion, and it's only an opinion. And sometimes when you state your opinion, people say you hating. You know,
right.
But my opinion, and it's not to hate on nobody, but I think a lot of people play around too much on that mic. You know what I mean? Or think they can just say anything. You know, and that's why I like Kendrick, because he's setting a bar, because he's coming a certain way. Just like even how he came on a Cypher. He came
right.
on a Cypher. He ripped it. You know what I mean?
Killed
he
it.
Just came spitting. He ain't come no gimmicks, no nothing. He just came and ripped it. You know what I mean? So that was the approach that we always had. And we had that approach with each other. It's like even when I came to the studio with Trax, I was battling True Master. I was battling RZA, Fourth Disciple. I was battling
right.
Inspector Deck. Inspector Deck is a dope producer. I learned a lot from him. And it's like we taught each other. You know what I mean? That's how we kept it sharp. But when we came into the studio and brothers was in the studio, like, what's the next track we doing? And, you know, and you got your turn to put that track up. You had to put that heat down, because if I didn't bring no heat, I wasn't getting no burn.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Indeed. Right.
So, yeah. So it's like, nah, you know. And then, but at the same time, the same thing with the MCs. It's like, you know, if you listen to them joints, like back then, it's like, you know, that's why, like, you know, certain songs that certain verses never even made the track, because it was a battle. You know, you had to have the dopest rhyme to get on that track, and it's like
that's
you
crazy.
Couldn't just say anything. You know what I mean? It's like the only person who could get away with doing that was Dirty. You know,
the
I mean?
Old Dirty Bastard, right? Right,
but
right.
No father through his style, and he had a certain aura and charisma about him that when he did it, it just. It, you know, it's like
there was just no rules. The old Dirty Bastard shit. Like he. Let me. I'm so happy you mentioned his name, because there was no father to old Dirty Bastard style. Rest in peace to old Dirty Bastard, one of my favorite artists of all time. Old Dirty Bastard, man. I want to touch on it for a little, real quick, and get your your insight on it. When old Dirty Bastard came out, he was like to me. So instrumental to the growth of the Wu-Tang, because strong personalities can sometimes stray people away. You know what I'm saying? You got a bunch of niggas that's talking some real street shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the vividness, the Raekwon and Ghostface New York street tales will live forever.
Right.
You know, there's people out in England talking about that shit, and they have no idea what New York streets were even like, but they act like they were right in the middle of it. But then you got old Dirty Bastard. You got a guy that's like, I don't give a shit about what no one says. At the one end of the spectrum, I'm fun. On the other end of the spectrum, I'm deadly serious. But the way I rap ain't going to be like nothing you ever heard before. I thought that even made it more of a worldwide movement, because he invited everybody in to see this person who was different than anything was on the mic at that time, man.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about it, when Dirty wanted to, Dirty can spit. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like back, like on Protect Your Neck and all that. Like he was spitting on that joint, but then he seemed like, I guess, you know, for him, he just seemed like, I'm gonna just have fun. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you could be the dopest MC all day, but what's going to set you apart?
Right.
He had fun with it. He had fun with it in Dirty Lit. You know what I mean? When he was alive physically, he lived, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's like, but who else can get on the mic and say, shimmy, shimmy, yay, shimmy, yah, shimmy, you know what I mean? It's like, come on.
And it become a hit. You know, and I don't compare, I got this, two people that I say did that and people didn't realize what they did. Flavor Flav, I'm from Hempstead, Long Island. Public Enemy was talking shit that was scaring white people. I'm talking about, to this day, I look back at Public Enemy and was like, what the hell made the world gravitate? And it was Flavor Flav. Even though Flavor Flav was like the nicest hype man ever, it's not easy to be a hype man like Flavor Flav was. He was on concise on every verse that Chuck D had, but with a side of it that said, I'm inviting everybody into this because I know if I was like Chuck, I would run y'all away from this place because Chuck D was spitting some crazy shit. But Flavor Flav was like, yo, I want y'all to listen to us too. I want we can have fun with this too.
And you know, it's crazy that you said that. And the thing about Public Enemy is that I remember when I first heard Public Enemy, I was DJing. I used to do park jams out in Baisley Projects.
Wow.
And I was down for Crew out in Baisley.
Mm-hmm.
And my man Chu had copped the record. And matter of fact, we used to go to the Music Factory on Jamaica Avenue. And at the time, Mr. Walt used to work there. From from the Beat Miners.
Mm-hmm.
And big up to Mr. Wall. I remember Mr. Wall, and he used to have records ready for me. He used to pull them out like, you need this, you need that. I remember the first Yo Bum Rush the show, and it's like the thing that caught me was the distinct voices of the two, because Chuck had his voices are strong and powerful, and then Flav just had that. He had a distinct voice, too. Like you said, his timing was on point, and then the cover was just ill because you just seen a whole bunch of, you know, the S1Ws was on there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Militant.
And Militant, and then Flav was on there looking crazy, you know what I mean? It was like, wow, what's this? But not to get off the subject over chair.
We're going to get back on track, but we definitely wanted to pay homage to Old Dirty Bastard. Rest in peace, man, to Old Dirty. So much great work that he put out in the world before he left here, man. And I think a big reason today why Wu-Tang has his stronghold and will never die down, he's a big piece of that. But we definitely want to get into DJ Alive Mathematics, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to bring Onyx on, too. She's from Houston, Texas, a big Wu-Tang fan, too. Like I said, like, you guys touched everybody when y'all was coming through, you know what I'm saying? And to be still doing it, it's a testament to the music that you laid down. But we want to get into what you got going on, because even though you were a great DJ for the Wu-Tang Clan, all you guys played an intricate part musically to what's going on today. You got a joint coming out called The Answer, a project coming out called The Answer.
Out right now.
It's out right now. Okay, give the details on how people can get The Answer.
You can get on iTunes, Amazon. Right now, it's strictly digital.
Okay.
Basically, you know, it's all independent. I did everything basically myself, just because of the way the game is. You know what I mean? It's like as far as deals, how deals go, and how labels go, and the way the music is going. To me, it's like deals that I was offered to me was, I found it disrespectful. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not wanting to never sell my soul, and this is something that I would do anyway. I would make music forever, as long as I can, because that's just me, just like DJ, even if I was, because I wake up in the morning and I hit the turntables, it's just in me. Or I just might make a beat because I love to make music.
Right.
But The Answer for me, this album, you know, I definitely took a second because it was a progression also for me, because this whole album, there's no samples on the album. Everything, you know, people always talk about instruments and playing and you know, but it's how you use it. You know, it's what you do, because the whole album is all live instruments. It's only one replay on there, which is I'd Rather Smoke With You, which is you know, from Bootsy Collins, I'd Rather Be With You.
Right.
And yeah, but you know, for me, it was just I did it as far as musically to try to you know, take it somewhere else for my enjoyment, you know, and I just hope that everybody else enjoyed it. I think you have to be satisfied with yourself and your work before anybody else can. And a lot of times, that's how we started out, you know, and for me, that's why it was the answer, because I took it back to the foundation for me as far as, you know, doing it for more for myself than for other people. Nowadays, you got people that try to do things, oh, I need to do this to sell, you know, to get this market or to get that, and they may not necessarily be happy with what the work they're doing. I want to be happy with what I'm doing. You know, I mean,
right,
I want to be able to say, well, hey, I did this. You know, this is mine. You know.
Well, that's,
you know,
big right
proud
now, because I think that's the state of the game, what you just said. A lot of people just doing stuff just to get a check. They're not comfortable with what they're doing. And, you know, I don't think those people last very long. How do you feel about music right now as far as the game is concerned? Is that why you wanted to drop a project, or just like you said, you just, hey man, I'm a musical dude, I wanted to step out of my comfort zone and make a body of work that I think would be dope for everybody that's a Wu-Tang fan to listen to? Or did you feel like, you know what, man, I'm tired of this watered down shit that's going on, people need some real music, let me put something out here?
Like, I think personally, like, the state of music, it depends on what you listen to. I think it's something, because the internet definitely opened it up. So it's like anybody can make a record, anybody can put it out on the internet. So there's real hip-hop out there. It's just up to you to find it. And I just think music became so more diverse than what it was. And being diverse,
right,
sometimes don't mean that it's good. You know what I mean? Because it's always, even in hardcore hip hop, just because you know you're doing hardcore hip hop, don't mean that it's good either.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, like, I just think we need more diversity, and especially even like on the radio and mainstream or whatever, because you know, when you know everybody don't have satellite radio, everybody doesn't have a computer, you know what I mean? So sometimes the only way they can hear music is on a radio, and they, you know, you may not get what you want from the radio, you know?
Right.
You know, and, you know, back, you know, you go a little further, you know, years ago, you always had different sounds, you know, like, you know, like the Wu-Tang sound, we had our sound, Boot Camp Click, they had their sound. Atlanta always had their sound when it came down to, you know, to Outkast and
right,
you know, the whole Dungeon family, and what Jermaine Dupri was bringing to the table with the Brat, and,
right,
and you know what I mean, and even Crisscross, and you know, I think that's what, even with production, that's what separated a lot of producers, because like Jermaine Dupri is a good example, because him, Salaam Remy, two ill producers, underrated, because they was wide in their spectrum. Cause
right,
he could do a song for the Brat, but then do a song, a R&B song for Escape, that was actually an R&B song. You know what I mean? Salaam Remy, he could do a joint for the Fugees, and then come out and bring out Amy Winehouse with this sound, or Jazz
right,
Sullivan with that sound. And nowadays, you know, even like with producers that do hip hop and R&B, it's the same thing to me. It sounds the same. It's not really a change. You know, unless it's done by a straight R&B producer or a straight hip-hop producer. You know, you got a lot of producers doing things, but there's no line in between. Everything has become the same, almost the same.
Right.
You have people, everybody replicas, everybody try to do what everybody else is doing. This one is hot. This is what they doing. Let me do the same thing.
We hate that here on this show, brother. Let me just tell
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Me and Onyx can't stand that. And I want to bring her on because I know she got some questions for you. But that statement you just made is what we don't like on the cut.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, definitely don't want to get into what we don't like because it would be all night. We'd have you on here just picking up your night, but. I mean, because we do get into our rant sessions, and but I want to say that we are very humbled and honored to have you on this show tonight. And I know we said it earlier, but we really are because it's wonderful when you can get that history and that insight from someone such as yourself who's been in the industry for such a long time, and then among these power players and movers and shakers. I mean, Wu-Tang Clan changed the entire. Structure, like you said, of the record labels,
yes.
Which I was sitting over here like, oh, my God, like, literally wouldn't jump on the phone and be like, that is crazy. And it makes so much sense to us that you said that, so thank you. You guys got into a lot of the things that I wanted to ask you, actually.
Oh, no.
But can you share any in particular tour experiences that you've had? I see that I know that you've done quite a lot anywhere that you went that you were just like, man, I can't believe we over here in Egypt or anything you could share with us.
Well, I'm about to, I've been a lot of places, but this month I'm actually going to Dubai. I've never been there before. So I'm a little excited about that, you know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, those is man-made islands. I mean, you see them pictures, it's like Dubai look crazy. I was like, yo, a lot of places I would love to go there. And
right.
It took me a long time to get there, but I'm going to get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hey. Anything else? Any crazy tour experiences with you and the fellas on the road, on the planes?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. So you looking for experiences or stories?
Either or, it's all good. We're not TG.
I let me try to think of something that I can tell without implicating anybody in anything. Okay, well, I could tell you... Well, this is... All right, let me get to my brother. Let me see.
Okay.
I can tell you a good old dirty story. You know what I mean?
Okay.
As far as, like, because he always had that aura as far as, like, you know, if there's a mic, there's a stage, he's on it. You know what I mean? He wanted to be there. He wanted to get on it. You know what I mean? And I remember one night, this was in Florida, right? This was probably, like, 95 or something like that, and Prince had a club out there at the time. I can't remember the name of the club. It'll come back to me, but I remember he was performing there, and he was on the bill, right? Capleton was on the bill. Death Squad was on the bill. It was like a lot of Def Jam artists, as a matter of fact, on the bill. And matter of fact, Wu-Tang wasn't even on the bill, come to think of it. And I was there with, you know, I was there because I was DJing for Meth. And, but, you know, Wu-Tang, we was, you know, the crew was in the house. So I remember just being backstage and a couple of acts was on and Dirty just like, I want to rock, you know what I mean? Walking back and forth or whatever. So I just remember, like, you know, and big up to Capleton, you know what I mean? You know, much respect to him, but this is just dirty. This is just how he was, you know what I mean? He just came on, walked on stage, grabbed the mic, and just started rocking. And it's like he just took over the show. So when he took over the show, he went out there, and he's like, I had to go out there. Yes, I had to go. You know what I mean? So I remember right. I got on the tables. I got on the tables, right? So I'm spinning for them or whatever. So then they telling them, like, yo, you know, trying to cut them, like, yo, you got to get off. You got to get off. You know what I mean? And yo, he got so pissed, right? Like, you know, this is my brother. I knew Dirty for years, you know what I mean, at the time. But, you know, had it been anybody else or anything else, you know, any circumstance, it would have been a problem.
Right.
But this cat comes running up where I'm standing at because they tell him he got to get off, and I think they might have cut the mic off on him. He runs up where I'm at, takes the turntables, and flips them over. Like,
what?
I'm like, yo. Yeah. So I'm looking at him like, yo. I was a little heated. But I'm looking at him like, yo, I know he ain't just do that. I'm like,
I know, right?
Like, I shut shit down.
Where the fuck? Where was Capleton this whole time? Just standing there looking at Dirty taking like, shit?
Nah, by that time, he was on, you know, he moved off the stage. He was pissed. He kind of stormed off. And, a matter of fact, that same night, he had his cool with him, too. So, and at that time, I thought it was going to be a little something, too. But, you know, everything was peace, everything was cool. And Lennox Lewis was with him that night, too.
Well, that's certainly something I didn't pull up on Google there. Well, so we thank you for sharing that. That definitely sounds like a crazy time, but something to look back on these days, and thank you for that. I really just wanted to say we appreciate what you brought with us tonight, share with us, and I commend you for that logo. It's fantastic. Did you know back then that logo was going to be such a huge marketing push for your brand and what you guys still represent today?
Nah, I had no idea. I had no idea 20 years later still be doing this. Like, at this capacity,
right.
and be able
right.
to take care of your family and, you know, do it, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, just live. 20 years off of what started for me as a hobby, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I used to DJ in the park for free. So it was like, you know, carrying heavy speakers and crates of records, you know, no Serato. We used to have to come out with the crates
right.
of records,
right.
you know, risk getting shot up and everything else for free.
Okay.
So to be doing this like still 20 years later, strong, and, you know, it's definitely, it's grateful, it's appreciative, but I had no idea. You know, I had no idea the logo would be what it is either, you know.
Well, we glad it's here, man. We glad it's here big time, man. I mean, the things that Wu-Tang have done, I mean, even you mentioned it a little bit earlier about the gods and the earths and the 5% nation. There was a lot of people that did not know what that was until they heard the Wu-Tang Clan, man. And, you know, it was so funny when I moved out here, you know, being, you know, in New York and the area I grew up with, you know, there was peoples in my family that were, you know, gods and earths, you know what I'm saying? My cousins were. And, you know, that when they changed their names and things of that nature, you know, I had got familiar with it through them. And then when I moved out here to Florida, you guys were their teachers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys are the reasons why people picked up lessons and start studying and saying God and this and that. And it was pretty crazy, man, because I know people to this day that will tell you that I'm a part of the 5% nation because of Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. It's just like, even like, just like peace, like the word itself, because I remember there was a time, you know, and like you said, you from Hempstead, so I'm pretty sure you might remember. But it was a time when you know, he's like the only brother saying peace. And sometimes somebody would be like, peace of what? Then it becomes something else. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, next thing you know, his punch is being thrown, and you trying to bring peace, but it was like, but now it's like everybody's like peace. And, yeah, even with the God, and word is born, word is bond, and, you know, but, you know, it's like, It's the principles that's important. I think that's something that everybody should, really understand. To me, it's basic principles. Mathematics is basic principles of life, and they'll help you get you through anything. I don't care what you believe in, what you who you say God is. Them principles will help you with any and everything, and understand any and everything. I think that's all I got to say on that. Pardon me. Yeah.
Nah, I appreciate that. And I know Onyx got a few more questions, and we got another guest that we got to bring on. We do appreciate your time, but my bad. She got it to the NGE, man. That's a big thing going on. And did you guys have that in Houston, in Texas?
Well, I'm actually from Killeen. I think you said earlier I was from Houston. I'm from Killeen, but
Killeen, Texas?
I wouldn't be from. Yeah, that's where I was raised. Ohio made, Killeen, Texas raised.
But you know it's crazy because I remember back in the day, like when I was on the Cold Chilling Blizzard tour, right? Me and Jez, it was Bismarck was the host. This was like the first tour I was ever on. Kid Capri was on it, and Master Ace, and Granddaddy IU. And I remember, damn, I was feeling like, yo, we made it. And I remember we went to Killeen, Texas. And when I went to Killeen, Texas, there was a brother there I knew from Queens, a brother by the name of Rommel, and he was out there. That bugged me out to see another brother with Nod to Self way over there.
Right.
Yeah,
it's quite a mixer. Actually, one of our guests coming up, he's also from around that area, but they're based out of Houston, Texas now. So, I mean, it's crazy. The people that you run into in Killeen and, it's like any other place, it's good and bad times, and, that's interesting to know that you dabbled out there a couple years back. You guys got to touch down there. Maybe y'all can do a show or something, Wu-Tang, and that's a lot of money. I don't know who can put up the money, but, hey, we can see what we can do.
Well, maybe next year, it's like, we still trying to get this album done, so,
I got you now. Got you locked in on the tour and all of that. So I will be touching base with you. So before we do let you go, though, this evening, I just wanted to ask you if you could give some advice, especially, again, being in the industry for 20-plus, some advice to anybody that's listening now, any independent, unsigned or signed artists, DJs, some advice on just the longevity and as a whole, being in this industry?
For longevity, just be true to yourself, be original, and be on your business, because at the end of the day, it is a business. That's the best advice I can give right there.
Most definitely. Absolutely. Well, again, we thank you so much for this evening, and we do value your time and everything that you brought to the audience, and we had a lot of people listening in and tweeting, chatting us. But it's been all good, so we thank you so much tonight.
Oh, thank you. Hey, could y'all do me one favor, though?
Absolutely.
Sometime tonight, can y'all play Four Horsemen for me? That's a joint off of my album, The Answer, The Four Horsemen.
Of course. Of course. We got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Most
yeah,
we got that in the queue, too, so that'd be easy. We got that one in the queue, so
we will definitely
rock that.
All right, cool. Appreciate it, man.
Yo, we appreciate your time tonight, man. Everybody listening to Cut, that was DJ Alive Mathematics, Wu-Tang Clan, legendary DJ. Man, that was some dope insight we got from Alive Math. It's so much. You can't really talk to a Wu-Tang member. You really can't talk to a Wu-Tang member for that period of time, man, because there's so much.
No,
I know
here.
Me and you want to ask. You know what I'm saying? There's
yeah,
so many
it's
members.
Like I'm not
it's crazy. Right.
Yeah, it's like
right.
It's too much history. You can't get all of it. It's got to be like part one, and then you got to bring Method on at one point, and then you got to bring Revit. Like, that is a long process. A series, it's just amazing. Like, and not a long, tiresome process, but just I'm sitting here trying to get, where's my notepad and pen, you know? Like,
right.
Just amazing. And anybody that missed the interview that we just concluded with DJ Mathematics of Wu-Tang Clan, you guys got to definitely go back and listen, especially any artists. Like they said, they did change the structure of the record deals and labels that the YNCMB and Rick Ross and Maybach Music and Def Jams and everybody that are the suit that they're following now. And that's just so important. I don't think that people realize that history that they
show, because we give it to them, man. And, you know, every now and then when we have these type of shows and we have somebody comes on with that longevity and that history, just like we had Tony Neal the other day, you know what I'm saying? It's just there's so many gems that you can catch. You know, and that's what people need to be looking for sometimes, instead of just looking for some clown moment, you know what I'm saying?
Some
gossipy moment, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you listen to this show, we have our fun times most of the time, but sometimes we definitely want to help everybody that's listening by saying, listen to what's going on. Listen to how the deals are changing. Listen to how they came in. Listen to what the foundation of the music they started listening to, so they knew that they were putting those drums together like this, or guitars. Like he said, he just did a live instrumentation album. So go check that out. That's live instruments right there. Wu-Tang is heavy samplers. So to hear him not sample on an album sounded crazy to me when he just said that. I was like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. He made sure he didn't sample. Whoa.
Yes, it's dope. It's dope. I'm definitely going to check that out as well. And we'll make sure to keep you guys posted on our Twitters at Global14TheCut. And also, again, if you're just now tuning in, this is Jermaine, please, Global14TheCut. So via Global14.com. We're coming up with our next guest, independent music label out of Houston, Texas, Breadwinner Music Group, J-Stone, recording artist, R&B. Oh, my gosh, he's so great, guys. We're going to actually play one of his records now. He's got a new album out called Heart of Stone. So he is on the line with us, and we're going to come back live with his interview. If you want to speak with him, give us a call at 760-913-4119. Go ahead and get in the queue, because we do have a full board. So try to get to you all, guys. Get to all of you guys tonight, but if not, definitely tweet us, and we'll make sure that he gets your question in, okay? Coming back with Jay Stone on Global 14 The Cut.
I'm gonna get real fly, and I'm gonna step out with my niggas. When the baddest bitch in the club try to holler, I'ma give her my number,
and I won't feel bad at all.
You ain't gotta call my phone,
my phone.
You don't even need to text my phone.
I'm doing everything you think I am, nothing in the day, and I won't feel bad at all.
Early today, I hit the mall before it opened and copped the new J. And the dope ass fit to go with him, I'm about to kill him.
And I promised the whole time you didn't cross my mind.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I got a new attitude to match my new shoes.
So do whatever it is that you do.
And when I don't come home,
don't call my phone. About it.
Ooh,
so I'm gonna get real.
song out to.
Alrighty, welcome back to Global 14 The Cut, and as promised, we do have our other special guest on the line tonight with us, BWMG, Jay Stone. What's up?
What's up, Onyx, Global 14 Radio, Houston, the whole wide world, what's going down? Jay Stone is on the line. How y'all doing?
Man, hold on.
Peace. Texas in the building.
Texas, Louisiana.
No,
everywhere.
Yeah. Already, look, we wanna thank you so much. It's crazy because you dropped this Heart of Stone album. Love that record, by the way. You dropped that Heart of Stone album last Wednesday. Hated that we couldn't get you on the release date. So glad to get you here this week on the follow up. And it's just a pleasure to have you. Thank you for your patience too. We have two wonderful guests tonight, so I kind of sensed that we would be going over with both of you guys this evening, but that's okay. That's how the industry rolls, you know? Yeah, that's just what it is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the pleasure is mine. Thank y'all for having me, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's definitely an honor to speak with everybody, you know what I'm saying? Let them know how I've been and what I got going on. An album did come out last week, and we definitely were trying to get on last Wednesday, and you and I definitely, you know, we were going back and forth trying to make it happen.
Right.
But nevertheless, I'm here now, and we're going to get it done. And, you know what I'm saying, anytime y'all want to holler at me, I'm definitely honored to be a part of the movement y'all got going.
That's what's up.
Good looking. Love it. I love it.
Much appreciated, man. And before Honest gets started with the interview, excellent song, man. You know, they got a new pair of shoes to match the attitude, man. I love that joint. I actually love that melodic track in your voice on that, man. Excellent job on that, brother.
Thank you. I mean, sometimes it's got to be like that.
That's how a nigga feels sometimes. Hey.
You can go overboard trying to do right and do the right thing, but then, you know, at some point, you know what? I'm going to do everything you think I'm doing. I'm not going to feel bad at all.
There
you
go.
I'm going to slang my behind off about it, too.
There you go. I love it.
That record is. Cool. I'm glad you like it. That's actually one of my favorites. I know my mom's not really a fan of some of my choices of words, but, you know, I was singing and I was jamming, and that's how I was feeling at the moment. So that's one of my favorite records right there. Shout out to Cold Red on the production.
Dope, most definitely. So, and also Golden manages a production company. So when he throws in those compliments, talk about production and voices, he means them. So, it was a great record, and we have some more that we want to hopefully debut tonight. Not giving too much, but just a little something. So for everybody that's listening and don't know, I may have mentioned earlier, but I do know you, Jay Stone. We actually was in school together at 8 and 9 years old in the same classroom.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of familiar with your background and whatnot. But for everybody else, the newfound fans and listeners, share with them a little bit about your childhood background and your upbringing.
Okay. Yes, we do know each other for many, many years now. Myself, my older sister, Julia, and my younger brother, T-Stone, y'all know him as T-Stone, we were all actually born in Germany. We were raised military. My father was in the military. My mother was a military wife. And we had, you know, a child's childhood. You know, my brother and I, we would run the neighborhood. Everybody played football. Everybody played baseball. By the time the street lights came on, that kind of childhood. My parents really wanted us to enjoy being kids. You know, we didn't have to worry about adult things. And up until recently when I became an adult, I really didn't know what adults dealt with because, you know, I just had a regular, amazing childhood, especially spending a lot of it overseas. You know, we got to see a lot of amazing things, and we just had a lot of fun growing up. My family's really been blessed.
That's amazing. I love to hear that and to just love to hear the structure in the family unit as a whole, being that we are of the black culture, you know, African-American, black, however people want to define us now, changing. But it seems to be rare these days, so it's nice to hear, you know, yourself come on and let everyone know, I did have a pleasant childhood. I didn't have to, you know, my parents did did well, and here we are today. So, and saying that, you got your childhood and you played and all of that. So when did you first actually discover your talent, and did you know that when you discovered that talent, okay, this is what I'm going to do, I'm going to be a singer?
I think my earliest memory of singing, actually singing for, you know, a group of people or anyone for that matter, was in church in Washington. I believe it was Washington State. I think we were stationed in Tacoma. But I was singing in church, and I got a solo in the choir, and I was singing Hush, Somebody's Calling My Name. My mom will have to clarify this. I think I was like 4 or 5 or maybe even younger, but I actually remember the day singing it. And from there, you know, between me and my siblings and sometimes my mom, sometimes my dad, my cousins, like, music has just always been a part of our life. Even though I'm the only one who really just sings, we put on shows for each other, and, you know, it's fun for us. You know, you don't have to be an amazing singer, dancer, but we've all sang, we've all danced, we've all played an instrument unofficially. You know what I mean? So music has always just brought joy to my family. And I think when I was around 8 or 9 years old, when some big things happened, I think we'll get into them later, I realized it was something that I could do and actually make a living. And it made me happy, and I felt it could make other people happy. And I realized, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I want to do it, and I'm going to do it. And it's been in my mind since I was a kid. And, you know, no matter what I've experienced from that point until now, I've never stopped singing. And that's just that. And I don't plan to stop. So, I mean, it's a gift from God. You know, I may not be the greatest, I may not be the worst, but it's something that I love to do, and that's why I do it.
Okay. Amen. I love that. I'm all like, I'm excited, inspired by that. I love that, man, and I love to hear the passion. You can hear the passion and hunger and drive and ambition in your voice. I know that the audience can as well, and that's the type of artists that we grow fond of. That's the type of artists that we're drawn to, ones that really do this, they really love it, and then good at it. You said you're not the best, but you have had some successes when you were young. You won Apollo a couple times, I think 3 or 4, so you had to be the best. Do you remember what that audition process consisted of? And
I remember. To keep it brief, if I can, I can be long-winded. We were living in Frankfurt, Germany. I was 7 years old. There was a talent competition in Kaiserslautern, if I'm saying that right. And it was a series of competitions that took place over the course of a few weeks, and the final prize was an audition to go to New York. So, like, you competed
to compete,
basically.
Right.
And, you know, my dad, he really, I mean, both my parents and my siblings, when they could see it in me that this was something that I loved, you know, they pushed me. And my dad, he really supported me from the very beginning. And, you know, he made sure that I was at the talent shows. He made me sing When a Man Loves Him. No, it was Can We Talk by Tevin Campbell that I auditioned with. I sang that song so many times. I mean, he rented out a youth center in Germany to where I could rehearse on their stage. And it was something that I will never forget. I mean, I hated it in the moment, but I'll never forget it. And I rehearsed so much because I was the only child competing against all adults. I competed against all adults. And my dad, he didn't want me to win because I was a cute kid. You know what I mean? He didn't want me to win because I was a little boy singing. He wanted me to earn it. And he felt that I had to work hard to be prepared, and I think that I did, and I was. And I competed several times in the prerequisite, I guess I'll call it, and I did win. And I was able to audition to go to New York, and I won that as well. And it was in 1993 that my entire family, myself, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, we came from Germany, and my entire family from Louisiana. We had people from all over the United States to meet us in New York, and we stormed the Apollo Theater in 1993. I sang When a Man Loves a Woman by Percy Sledge, and I won. The host called me the Apollo King. She got down on her knees. I was 8 years old, and she bowed to me because I was, again, the only kid competing against adults, and I went on to do that a couple more times, you know, more than 3 over the course of some weeks. And that was, for me, that was like, okay, good or not, they love it. Don't stop.
Right.
Keep doing it. And you know what I mean? Like, they love it. You got thousands of people in your face screaming. I don't know if y'all remember the real Apollo when you had Eva in the front row, like, reaching out to you, tripping. Mind you, like, I'm 8 years old in a full tuxedo. I had never heard of Apollo prior to me going there. You know, I was in Germany, and we didn't really get on TV, so I didn't know what it was. But I remember standing in the hall, and if you've ever seen, you know, the Jackson 5 movie, for example, they got their wall with all of the legends, all of the greats. I remember standing there with my dad, and, you know, it's kind of crazy to think about it. And I just remember standing there with him, and he was like, look, Jay, look at that person, look at that person. And I can remember it now, and being older and knowing who those people were and what they meant to music and what my dad was trying to tell me in that moment. I mean, it means more to me than people will ever understand. So, I mean, I would say if I don't do anything else in my life dealing with music, I have done enough, and I'm so grateful, and I just thank everybody for all their love and support.
Oh, my gosh. That, I have to tell everybody, like, I literally remember I was there over there overseas at the time in the youth center, and this was back in the day when there was the old school V8, like the little, you had to hold it over your shoulder type cameras, and I remember your dad and your brother was in there, and he was recording you singing, and then he had the little stand, and I remember being in there with my two friends. I don't know what we were all doing, running to the shopette to get the little dill pickles and everything and getting candy. And I remember seeing you in there singing and getting recorded. And so that I can definitely remember that. And I remember I was thinking, too, like, he doesn't get to pray. I remember thinking that. But you had
But, you know, we did get to play, but when it was Apollo time, I wasn't playing.
No.
There was no playing for me, not
right.
for Apollo season.
Right,
when we wasn't, you know, working, I was definitely playing it. And you remember we lived? We were in Edwards Village. We had that big hill in front of the youth center. I had to reminisce because only me and her know that. And the shop that was right there to the right, we was definitely playing it, especially when it snowed.
Yeah.
We was rolling down that big hill.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that I'll never forget. I'll never forget. And it means so much to me that you remember it, you know, that you remember it because I definitely was working.
Yes, you've been working. I can attest to that. I was telling everyone prior to you coming on that it's just amazing to fast forward now, and here we are, and having a platform to be able to support one another and share experiences and projects. So then back to you, and thank you for sharing those moments with us, because I can't imagine that feeling with the Apollo. So, knowing that you were able to captivate these audiences and everyone screaming and just being excited, was there a solid plan at that point to go ahead and say, hey, let's go major, let's try to get a record deal? Or did anybody say, hey, I want to sign you after seeing you on these shows?
When all of that was going on between the press that we were doing in Germany and Baton Rouge and Prairie, Louisiana, where my family is, my grandparents, a lot of people were reaching out. We had people that, you know, were submitting music, you know, songs, writing music for me. And we actually had a few majors approach my parents, you know, with situations. Of course, I'm 7, 8 now. It just wasn't an option at the time. What I was doing was cool. You know, we can travel, we can sing. But as far as the big deal, you're 8 years old. Of course, they let us be children. I learned a lot about the business I had going on when I got a little bit older, but they let me be a kid, and I appreciate it. You know what I mean? Like, I look at a lot of child stars, you know, a lot of people who had the potential to do great things, but maybe they started too soon. A lot of people who could have been amazing, but maybe they didn't start soon enough. I mean, who's to say? But in my situation, like I said, I am 100% happy with the way things turned out for me. You know, I wouldn't have it any other way. If I don't do anything else, like I said, I'm good. My parents, they wanted me to be a child. You know, we didn't sign any deals. We didn't do anything. Like, I traveled. I went to a lot of churches. I did a lot of, you know, I mean, people booked me. I went places. I did shows, but we didn't sign any deals. I didn't put out an album until 2005, and this is 1993 when all this was going on. So it was a point when, you know, I was old enough to make my own decisions. and really know what direction I wanted my life to go in. And that's something that I appreciate from my parents, because like I said, they let me be a kid. I wasn't forced to anything. They didn't tell me what I could or couldn't do, you know, once I was an adult. But as a child, you know, that was my job. That was my 24/7, 365 kid, you know what I mean? And I think that helped me a lot today, being able to be a child. Same thing with my siblings. We appreciate adulthood.
That's right. I mean, that's right. And so, and shout out to your parents for holding that down. And I know that, you know, within these past few years, you did experience a loss with your father, who has been, of course, influential in your life, as well as your mother. Was there ever a time at that time where you felt like you may not want to pursue music, or did that empower you to definitely want to honor his legacy and continue what you all love to do as a family?
You know what, and anyone who's listening will agree with me when I say this. My father, he was such a strong, positive, influential, motivator. I mean, there's so many words to describe him that would make a person feel like, you know, quitting isn't an option, no isn't an answer. Never was there a point for any of us, you know, where we felt like because of his passing, you know, that maybe there, you know, we need to just chill, or we need to focus on this instead of that, or that instead of this. You know, that never crossed my mind at all. Of course, we had to deal with it, and it was very hard. My father, you know, he was close with all of his kids and his wife and his entire family, you know, all my cousins, and anybody could call in and tell you how close they were on an individual level with my father. For me personally, you know, it was really hard, and I looked at it as, you know, a life lesson. You never know what direction life is going to take. You never know what last encounter you may have with a person or what your last words may be. I mean, it just really taught me, you know, to appreciate everything. I mean, if people say appreciate life, appreciate health, appreciate this, appreciate everything, because it's all a blessing from God, and you never, anything that we can physically see can be gone. You know what I mean? Like, it can be taken away from us, and
right.
We never know when. So you got to really appreciate. I mean, I had no idea that I was going to lose my father, you know? So, of course, who prepares for something like that? Who even thinks about it? But I did. And, you know, it just really taught me. I was thankful that I had the relationship that I did with him. And, you know, so I was okay. And some people, you know, if y'all listening, get, you know, fix your relationships, because you don't want something to happen and be like, man, I wish I could have said, or I wish I could have did, or I should have listened. You don't want that. You know, I don't know how that feels, but I can imagine that that's a horrible feeling to feel. So, yeah, you know, my dad, I know he's proud. That's my brother, my motivation, my sister. We just want him to be proud, and we know he can see us. And I know that if I wasn't working, he'd be making me work. So I'm working.
Most definitely. Thank you so much. Much respect to him, and may he continue to rest in peace, and you guys do so, and honor his legacy. To this day, that was very inspirational. Thank you for sharing that moment with us. So then,
yeah.
You said your original release was actually 2005, and I remember that album. I have a favorite song that I still play to this day. Every time I talk to you, I say, I'm still playing this record, because I really am. And people argue with me that it's Jaheim, and I keep telling them, no, it's Jay Stone. So it's just that's how great of a vocalist that they think you are. And so,
oh, wow. Thank you.
I want to ask you then, we've talked about your vocal ability, your writing style. Do you write your own music? And if so, do you remember the first song you wrote?
Yes, I do. There hasn't been a song that I've ever recorded that I have not written. Let me take that back. I think my brother C-Stone has written a couple hooks that I've done for him. But I've written every song that I've ever recorded for my work. The very first song I wrote was called, before I say that, I don't know if my sister's listening, I hope she is. She started off the singer in her family. She wrote this song called Hey Gray Boy, and she had a little keyboard or piano or something, and my brother and I were her backup singers. So before I broke off from the group, we were singing Hey Gray Boy, in Washington, and she wrote that one. Then one of my cousins, Tiffany, came to visit from Baton Rouge, and she wrote this song called "We're the Stuart Stones," and me and my brother were backup dancers, and her and my sister were rapping. And then finally, when I moved to Fort Hood, I guess I was about 9 or 10 years old, I wrote my very first song, and it was called "I'm Talking to You." And
okay.
It was like, I guess I was feeling kind of mannish at such a young age, but it was like a, you know, a little sexy song. I didn't have no music or nothing. But whenever someone would ask me to sing, that's the song that I sang for a couple of years, actually. And that was the very first song that I wrote.
Right. I was getting ready to say, wait a minute, what were you just talking about at 10 years old? But yes,
let me see if I can remember. Let me see.
Candlelight in my room, special dinner, table set for two. Hurry up, eat your food, and tell me what you want to do. Baby, are you ready for what I got in store? Turn off the lights and unplug the phone and close the door. I'm talking to you.
Something like that. I mean, of course it didn't sound like that, but it was something like that at 9 years old.
Too much Boys to Men, because that's what I think that was what was going down around that time. Maybe too much Boys to Men, but
I think "I'll Make Love to You" was starting to get to me, because that was like in the 90s. I was like, you know what, I think I could get me some women doing what they doing. Let me see what I can come up with.
Boys are such a mess. Well, I love that record, actually. I love that. I think you'd like to record that now.
You know, I think they recorded it on something. I think we had like the Make a Mike Breakers and Colleen and On Point Entertainment. My brother and I and Big Deuce and Dub and Vimo and like our crew in Colleen, we've done like several mixtapes, and we were all kids. And I think we recorded that on something. I don't know if anybody might have it. Like, you might email it to one of us or something if you bought it back in middle school. I would love to hear it. I'm almost certain that we did do that a couple years after I wrote it. But yeah, I've been writing everything, and Impatiently Waiting is the album that came out in 2005, and it's kind of weird how that happened. Like I said, I've been singing my whole life, but my brother C. Stone, he was going to school at Abilene Christian, and, you know, he's always kind of been into music with me, but he was never, like, in it. He was the athlete. I don't know if you remember, Onyx, like, star football player in Colleen. You know, run people over in Germany. Like, football was his thing, you know. Athletics was his thing. Academics was my sister's thing. It still is her thing. And, you know, I've been in music. But he went to Abilene, and you know, he kind of wasn't feeling it. Some things went down there. And he wanted to come where I was, which at the time I was going to Prairie View. And he enrolled in Prairie View, and we were up there together. And he wanted to get more into music on the business side of it. And he started learning and, you know, hanging around with the right people and really picking it up and really getting into it. And he told me, he said, you know what, I want you to be my first artist. And I told him, I said, you know what, if you're serious, if you really want to do this, if you really want to learn the business, I don't know the business. I can't teach you the business. I sing, and I'm learning the business. We can learn it together. If you're serious, let's do it. And not even a year later, Impatiently Waiting was released. And, you know, here it is, what, 8 years later, you're telling me it's still one of your favorite records, and I get that all the time. Y'all really don't know how much that means to me, because, like, a lot went into that. That was my brother's first, you know, national release on his label. That was him showing me that he was serious, that he could do it. That was him showing the world that he was a businessman, that he was an executive producer, that he was a CEO. And y'all know where he's at today. So, you know, this project is really important to the history of my music and my brother's, and to Breadwinner Music Group. And to hear, you know, the people still loving and still jamming, it's like it still blows me away.
Yes, and we got to get, I actually wanted to have that record up tonight so that I could play that, but then I said, well, let's do Be About Heart of Stone, and then I can bring that anytime, because it's not like we're going anywhere. So I definitely want you guys, everybody that's listening, you guys got to make sure you stay in tune and follow J-Stone and C-Stone and just the whole Breadwinner Music Group movement and label, because they are definitely, I want to say the one of you guys' captions or sayings per se is indie doing it major, and that's exactly what you guys are doing. You can just Google, go to the website, and everything is there. So it's just relevant. I do want to bring the other host on in a minute here. Just had a few more questions, and we can get into any callers or anybody that wanted to say something to you this evening. Do you play any instruments?
I don't want to cut you off. Can we do this? Can we see if there's anybody on? I can talk so much, and I know if there's anybody out there that wants to say something. If there's anybody that wants to say anything, let's take a couple of those. And then move on, because, you know, I can go all day, all night, and we're family, so, like, I'm laid out on the couch, chilling.
Most definitely. Well, let's play a record so I can get over and screen a few and see what we have, so I don't do any surprises and just bring people on live. So there was another record that you had sent over that you said we could go ahead and play on this evening, and I can let you introduce that if you like.
Okay, cool. All right, we're going to play Yeah. It's Y-E-A-H for all my New Orleans people. Yeah, that's the whole theme of the song. It features my brother C-Stone, the Breadwinner. It's a real feel-good, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think y'all going to love it. So if y'all ready, then I'm ready. Here's Yeah, J-Stone, C-Stone, the Breadwinner.
All right, let's get into it.
Yeah. to a prison, make it something that it wasn't. You don't ever have to question, cause you already know that I'm in love with my baby, and I'll never let her go. And I think that you're perfect, but for me, you're the best.
Well, I'll never tell you no, I'm always saying yeah.
Global 14, the Press B Vibrant, Fragrant Music Group recording, R&B recording artist Jay Stone, and he did release Heart of Stone last week, and that was, yeah, and like you said, we did like that joint, and I actually going to take those calls like you suggested, and I have the other host of mine as well, so he can get into some questions with you after we have your callers on. So, Golden, did you want to say anything before we bring on his supporters and fans and callers?
Yeah, no, I actually just want to hear the callers, man. You know the show is about the people, man. So let them ask Jay Stone, man. I think he gave some excellent insight to his family background, which I want to say I absolutely commend, and I'm happy to hear stories of
Thank
that
you.
Nature. You know what I'm saying, man? Strong upbringing, you know, street life. I loved all of that, man, because that's a solid foundation into the winning attitude that I can hear come across from you, brother. And it's just very refreshing to hear.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, and that couldn't be more appropriate that you said that, Gordon, because we actually have Jay Stone's mother on the phone right now, and she is live with us. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
All right. And the floor is yours.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Mom.
Well, just let me correct a couple of things. He actually sang his first solo in church at the age of 2. And that song was Jesus, I Love You. We were in Germany. And, you know, it was a funny thing. My parents came to Germany to visit for his, we were getting ready to celebrate his first birthday. And my mother noticed Jay would sit in front of the television, and when the Sesame Street song came on, he would sing right along with it. And he was 11 months old at that time. And she, I don't know if it was a premonition or what, but she said, he's going to be a singer. And, of course, I've always enjoyed being the background singer and what have you, but never thought I was giving birth to a singer. My daughter dabbled in music for a little while, you know, singing in the choir. And one choir rehearsal, she decided she would take Jay with her. She said, Mom, can I take Jay to choir rehearsal with me? She took her brother, came back, she said, well, Jay got the lead part in the pastor's anniversary on Sunday. He's singing solo. And it's been Jay Stone singing ever since.
Nice.
Aww.
That
is amazing
nice.
To hear that.
Just to hear
I
that the sister
on,
wanted
on.
To take him. That's awesome. Just to hear
oh,
that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My
hey, let me take my brother
I know.
To get this all. That's really dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she actually took him along as a spectator, and he came back a singer, and he has her utmost respect. Sometimes I said, Julia, you were the singer. She said, Mom, once I heard my brother sing, I had to take a step back and let him do what he was predestined to do.
Mm.
That was his place. Now, she said that to me this past weekend, you know. So it's just I as a mother feel so blessed not one time, not two times, but three times. And I've been sitting here crying throughout this entire interview because I'm blessed. And I just thank God for instilling in my husband and I the tools that we needed to teach our children the right thing. That's all that God requires of us, train them up the way they should go. And I think we did that.
Well, as an outsider looking in, I was calling them Mrs. Stone, Mama Stone. I know your name, but from the outside looking in, it shines through. You know, not even you coming on the phone is just an extra shine on it, but you can hear it through your son and the way he speaks about his upbringing. And like I told him before, when you came, before you came on the line, it's refreshing. It's refreshing that when people come on and talk about the foundation and why they are getting to the point where they're at. It's so important, and I just want to tell you, great job.
Thank you.
Great job, Mama.
Thank you so
great
much.
Great job, Mama. I love you so much, Mama.
I love you, too.
And let me just say, my sister and my mother both have amazing voices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jay. I don't see myself on one of your albums yet, so.
Prove it, Jay. Prove it.
I can't catch up with her. She's everywhere all the time. I can't get my mom in the studio. She's here, there. She takes more flights than we do, but as soon as I can get a hold of her, she is going to be on the next record. Y'all have my word.
Oh, it's amazing.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do something. We're going to do a little something. He always tells people he got it from me. I truly believe that that is his gift from God. God stirred that up in him. He didn't stir it up in me. It's in Jay.
Amen.
Thank you, Mom.
Oh, this is such a special moment.
Thank you for calling, Mom. I really appreciate it.
Okay, well, I'm going to let somebody else, you know, have the floor. Thank you all for taking my call. Thank you for interviewing my sons and supporting the Breadwinner Music Group. Really appreciate it. And Onyx, thank you for keeping in touch. It's been some years. You guys have really grown up on me.
Yes, ma'am, we have. Thank you so much. We appreciate you this evening.
Okay.
Thanks, Mom.
All
take
right.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Wow, awesome. Gotta love Mama.
I know. It's not, the night is not complete unless your mom does call in. My mom called in the first show we had, so it has to happen, you know? Let's see, here we have another call. Yes, most definitely. We have another caller here. Little Sniper, you're live with Jay Stone.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man? This is my boy Little Sniper, y'all. My right hand right here. What's going down, man?
Hey, what's going on? This is my best friend. I just wanted to congratulate you, man. And kind of tell you I love what you're doing. And my mama said congratulations and she love you and all that. You know, I had
thank
to call in to support BWMG.
Absolutely. And let me let y'all know, when we first finished the record, I called Lil Sniper. I'm like, man, I need some names. You've heard the songs. Like, we need a title. And the first and only thing he said was Heart of Stone. And, you know, long story short, there's a title. So Lil Sniper gets the credit on that one. And when we broke it down and what it actually meant, like, it just was perfect. So I really appreciate, you know, his efforts on the project. And I thank you so much for calling. And tell Mom thank you, and I love y'all, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. It's well appreciated. But you know what I'm saying? It's all about you. And you know we getting ready to turn up. So you know what I'm saying?
All right, man. Thank you, bro.
Man, but you know what I'm saying? Do you, man. Have fun. And you know we got to make them numbers come in. You know what I'm saying? It's check season, baby.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, bro. Thanks, man. Thank you for calling.
All right, man. Take care.
All right.
All right. Shout out to Lil Sniper. Okay. Check season for show. That's, we don't need
gotta
to
get
answer.
It. Gotta get
okay.
Get it.
Hey, at the end of the day, you know, like I said, I love what I do, but, you know, bills still got to get paid. They still come.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. They don't stop. Right. So then I just, we do have a few more callers on the line. We have one person. We can't really get, couldn't quite hear them, so hopefully they can call back or get their feedback issue on that end. Looks like it might have been Houston hometown support. Have a couple of other listeners, callers on the line. They said they're just listening, so that's awesome. They're getting some a great interview here with you this evening. We do want to go ahead and move forward, Golden. We have some, you can ask him, I guess, go ahead and get into the part that he has now, Heart of Stone.
Heart of Stone.
Mm-hmm.
I like, yo, shout out to Lil Sniper. Shout out to Lil Sniper. Now that I know that he came up with the, because I was going to say that's a dope name considering, you know, all of their names has stone in it. You know what I'm saying? That's a great name for the title. And then he just came on and said Lil Sniper was the one that gave him that. So shout out to Lil Sniper for giving him that. I think that is an excellent, appropriate title, especially hearing his mother and, you know, him giving the background of where him and his brother, his sister, and how they came up. But one thing I did want to know about the background before we get into the new project, and who's some of your old school influence, man? Did you ever listen to a lot of old school R&B or any type of Motown or?
My mother, man, between my mother and my father, I have been exposed to all different kinds of music. Like I said, okay, we came up overseas a great part of our upbringing. And so I got a lot of, let me see, international music.
Nice.
But in my house, you know, my mom, they played a lot of that classic, that real deep R&B, that Sam Cooke, that Donny Hathaway. Like that,
yes.
And those are people that I grew up listening to, and to this day, like, my favorite song is A Song for You by Donny Hathaway. Like,
yes,
his voice to me was so smooth, and it's nothing that I ever tried to mimic. It was just something that I enjoy. And I think when it comes to looking up to someone or you know, kind of thinking to yourself, you know, I want to do that, you don't have to be them. You don't have to
right.
sound like them. To just enjoy and appreciate what they do and want to do something to that same capacity without trying to mimic them. That's something that I've always appreciated. Like, I love Luther Vandross and Donny Hathaway. I love their voices, but I don't try to be them. So I can just, when I need to get that good music, I can go enjoy something that is not myself or something that I try to, you know, I can go get something from somewhere else. And that's
right.
why, you know, I try to keep myself separate from the people that I grew up listening to and that I love so much.
That's a great point. I think when, you know, certain people try to mimic somebody to the T, it does their own artistry a disservice. But when you can adapt and just hear from what they did, but create your own lane and your own style, but you might have some of those nuances that they had, I think that makes for great artists. And you can hear it on the smoothness of your voice, man. You got a very smooth voice, very nice tone on the microphone. I definitely wanted to also ask you, R&B is about connection, man. I've been to R&B concerts and seen guys singing and girls eye to eye, and you see the audience feeling, you know, what they're bringing across. What do you want to bring across to the audience when you step on that stage and you're singing a song like Yeah, or you're singing a song like the one we heard earlier that you sung a cappella, which you did a great job. What do you want to bring across to the audience when Jay Stone steps on that stage?
More than anything, emotion. And any song that I sing, for example, the national anthem, a lot of people don't know I sang the national anthem for the Houston Astros, and I think it was 2003. I wasn't even living in Houston yet, but me and my family, we came out here to Minute Maid Park, and I sang the national anthem for the Astros versus the Cubs. And my goal was to connect with the crowd. You know, I knew they weren't sure what they were going to get when I walked out there. But when you pass that emotion that you feel in your heart and your soul, when it comes through in your voice or whatever you're doing, if you're dancing, if you can pass that emotion from one person to the next, you got a connection that can't be broken. And I mean, just that in itself is amazing. When I come out, I mean, it may be one person that I connect with. I may connect with someone and never know it.
But I gotta go out there like I'm connected with every soul in there, and keep that connection going for the entire performance, because that's, I want them to feel what I feel. In that case, whether I sound good or not, you felt it. You know what I mean?
Right, indeed, indeed. And that I think that's R&B right there, man. Evoking that emotion. You know what I'm saying? Bringing that across. You know, you got some young guys that come out here, you know, they running up and across the stage singing. Somebody told them they had a nice voice. They may have got a hit on the radio or whatever. But you don't see them trying to make that connection. You know what I'm saying? You don't see it. I was watching The Five Heartbeats, one of my favorite movies of all time, that and The Temptations. But I was watching that the other night, and when dude is singing to the girl while her man is right there and she's just melting, I was like, you know, I wonder if, because I can't sing, you know what I'm saying? But you got it. So I wonder if singers go up to, you're like, you know what? I'm going to see what emotion I can evoke out of that person right there. You ever challenge yourself to do that? You ever grab some girl's hand, like, let me see what type of emotion I can evoke?
And you know what? I don't think I've pushed myself. Now, I done got on my knees before. I done came
right
out of my shoes and my before. But every now and then somebody will kind of, like, push me. Like, recently in Houston, like, this lady, she was feeling it so much. And I think there's a video somewhere on YouTube, but, like, she was really, really, really feeling it. I don't know how I can describe it and keep it cool, but put it this way. She felt all her emotions, and she wanted me to feel everything she was feeling. So you kind of never know what you're going to get, especially
right
when it comes to singing. Certain sounds have an effect on me. I mean, I know you've been in church and got goosebumps, or you sing a song and your eyes start watering up.
Watering up, right.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, different things have different effects on different people, so I never know what to expect, you know, when I go out. But entertaining it is cool, but I'm about the emotion and the connection, and I try to accomplish that on record first, because a
right
lot of times the first connection anyone will ever get from you, or the first thing they ever see or hear, is not you actually. You know what I mean? Like, there
exactly
are people listening now that have no idea who I am, or, you know, have ever heard my music. So this right now is important. You know what I mean?
No,
so,
you're absolutely right, man.
You know,
I think that's real dope. Get it
man
on record first.
I mean,
anybody listening, hear what he just said. Bring that emotion across on record. And that's what's going to make them want to know who you are, you know, and then.
And not only that, if you get feedback from a concert or something, people actually go to these shows expecting to see and feel what they're getting on the record. So even though, you know, with technology, you don't always get that. But it needs to be so sincere and so true to who you really are on that record, to where when they do meet you, or when they do see you in person, or when they do hear you sing live, it's not like, whoa, night and day,
right,
or who is that? You know, when somebody meets me, like, if I ever meet anybody that I have never met that's listening, I want you to be like, you know what, you're just exactly like I heard on the radio. Because, I mean, I'm being myself. And
right,
when I sing, that's how I feel. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't sing something someone else has written for me. It just so happens I've written all my own music. So the emotion is definitely there. Because, I mean, that's just how I was feeling in the moment. And honestly, this last album, Heart of Stone, I don't have one of those records on paper. It came straight from my head to the microphone. Like, I honestly did not write one single song. I just sang
nice
how I felt, and then I perfected it. I made it work. And so I had those records. And, I mean, that's a part of me wanting to put as much of myself into the project as I possibly could. You know, I
that's
didn't force
nice
anything.
That's nice
out
right
of my
there.
I just wanted to give everybody something real. I mean, it's been a minute.
Well, and you saying it's been a minute, what have you done differently on this project? I guess you just gave us a little taste of that by saying that you didn't write anything down on this project. Is there anything else that you consciously tried to change from your last project in 2005 to this one?
I really didn't. I didn't even listen to it. A lot of people, you know, they might study they stuff, or, you know, just go over different things. When I started recording Heart of Stone, it wasn't Heart of Stone. It wasn't anything. I was just working. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had been doing shows, working with other artists, doing different things. But I also, you know, it was like a release for me. Like, I would be up in the middle of the night just recording. And
that's what's up.
Out of nowhere, you know, not too long ago, actually, I got a text from T Stone like, hey, your album's going to drop. I'm like, what album? He said, man, you got all of these songs on the Mac. Your album is done. You finna drop. I'm like, well, we need to talk about this. But, I mean, I actually do have enough songs to put out a couple of albums right now. And he had been kind of listening to stuff I was doing and stashing away, and I didn't know. And he was so proud of what he was hearing, he was ready. And he wanted to do it, and I didn't argue. I said, you know what, why not? Why not share it? I've been working on it. You know, we sat down.
I like
that. Picked what we liked most and what we thought would connect the most with our audience and our fan base and what would get us new fans, and that's what we went with, 12 songs.
Shout out to C-Stone for that, man. I think sometimes you just have to do it. You know what I'm saying? And if you were working and it was coming from the heart, what you were putting out there, you really just have it. You got them all there. You didn't even realize it. But, hey, he saw it because he's, like you said earlier, he went and said, I'll be the business guy. I'll be the, you just sing. And that's what you was doing. You was just singing. Meanwhile, he was over there like, yeah, I like that one. Stash it aside. I like that one.
He was on it. He was on it, and I respect that about him, and that's why I didn't object. You know, I trust him with all of his ideas and his decisions, and I didn't know he was paying attention to what I was doing like that because, I mean, I'm always going to be a part of the team, but I really just wasn't working on a project for myself. I was just working. I would just show up and just do stuff. And I mean, I didn't know if anyone was paying attention, but, I mean, this was over the course of you know, 2 years, actually. And when he was ready, he let me know, and we did it. Like, these songs, it wasn't rushed. Like, I've been working on these, not working on them consistently, but just these are 12 out of a number of songs that I've done over the past 2 years that he just said, okay, I want the world to hear this right here, right now. And, you know, who knows what will pop next, but we got plenty to push, so we're going to be busy.
Nah, I like that, man. I like that structure of it because it's like it's really not a structure. It's just music is emotion,
right,
man. You could put out something that somebody just feels at that moment. So if you're there, you know, it's for the world to hear. Go ahead. Let's see what happens. You know what I'm saying? That sometimes works a lot better than, you know, somebody sitting there planning something so strategically to the T. When you don't even know if the audience abroad will accept what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? There's people out there that's like, I'm going to detail this to the T, and you don't know if one person is going to say, hey, I'm feeling that. So you do what you do from the heart, and you put it out there, and they'll get it. They'll definitely get it. So shout out to you and your brother, you know, for working with each other like that. Now, I know you have a few guest features as well. Is there anyone in particular that you would love to work with, known or unknown?
Man, I can't even list. First of all, I'm like a talent nerd or a music nerd. People come up to me all the time. Just recently, my brother, Johnny Dang, we were walking out of Sharpstown Mall, and this girl runs up. She's like, can I sing to you? Can I sing to you? Like, I love music so much, like, I can never say, oh, I would work with this person, I wouldn't work with that person. But I would love, on writing note, there's a writer named Stacey Barth. I think she's amazing. She works, she does a lot of work with Sandy. It's a lot of songwriters that I want to work with. As far as singers, man, you put me in with anybody, and I would just be honored. I mean, I love Mary J. Blige. I love Frank Ocean. I love, on a producer tip, Timbaland, of course. Brian Michael Cousins. I'd be honest. And there are some people that I've done stuff with, you know, that we haven't really just put out there yet. But it's a lot of independent artists that just go unnoticed and overlooked. I get a lot of beats and people write. So I got a cousin, Millicent. She writes amazing music. It's so much talent in the world. Like, I think even if I was in a position to, like, put people on, I would be in so much trouble. Because everybody will have some kind of deal.
Like, I feel you on that, man. I definitely feel you on that.
Everybody will be doing something. Like, even now, like, my immediate team, like, I got London here doing one thing. I got Kilo on the promotion. And it is, like, everybody has something to do with something. Because when I see somebody passionate about it, and especially if they down to rock with me, let's go. Let's get it. Like, I mean, my brother gets on me sometimes because, I mean, I show up to the set with all these people because this person is interested in filming. This person wants to be a director. Well, come with me to the set. Let me show you guys.
Well, let's all go over.
Yeah, let's go. Let's take a field trip. That's just how I am. And, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that, me personally. But, again, I'm not the business man.
Nah, hey, let me put it like this. I love that attitude because it's an attitude that is just like, you know, you're all inclusive. You're like, somebody got a dream. If they're going to work hard and show that they can do something, why not give them a shot? But on the other hand, this is a business in that Seastone realm. So he like, brother, I'm not going to let you be like MC Hammer. You know what I'm saying? Like Hammer was like, hey, everybody, let's go on. You know, come with me. And then next thing you know.
God is so good. Like, the people, when I tell you I got some hungry people, are like, my PA, I'll try to give them something. Like, nah, man, I'm good. What you need? What do you need? No, are you good? No, what do you need, Jay? What you, and that's just, like, such a blessing. Like, I mean, God has been so good, like, throughout the whole process, even as a kid. That's why I know, like, I could never, like, limit what I would do for somebody. Cause, you know, people have really, really shown me love over the years.
Right.
And, I mean, if it's one person listening or 1 million, I'm just eternally grateful for the opportunity to even be on here with you guys. Like, it really means a lot.
Well, that's why you're already winning. You've already been winning since a young talent. I mean, I'm from New York. Apollo, I know what that's about. For you to go up there and win that four times,
let me cut you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You from New York. My dad, just real quick story, if my mom's still listening, I know she's about to ask. We all were so hyped to be in New York, but my dad was so scared. Like, mind you, we're military. Everything is, like, straight order. I mean, we couldn't look at nobody. We were practically walking in the line down 125th Street. Like, it was so crazy. But, I mean, he was concerned. He wanted us to be okay. We had never been out there before.
Right.
And now I've been in New York, you know, plenty of times, and I love it, but I can't go back there without thinking of how protective my dad was over his family. I told you my entire family was there from my grandfather on down, and he was so protective, but we had such a great time. And, you know, and that's just a funny story. Cause, I mean,
I'm not mad at him at all for that.
Exactly. You'll be like that if you don't know about New York.
Exactly. And you know what? You being a young person and him having the whole family out there, like you say, you guys are from military background, I think that was excellent that he did that. You know, listen, we're here to do something. We're going to go in here. We're going to knock it out because, you know, it can be a culture shock. You know, sometimes I remember my cousin used to visit from Alabama, and you would just catch them staring up at the buildings, just like stuck, just looking. And we'd be like, come on, man, we're walking, you know, and they'd just be staring like, wow. Like, you know what I'm saying? So shout out. Like I said, I know what the Apollo's about. For you to go up there and having – I don't know whether it was Kiki Shepherd or the lady bowing down to you because of your performance. You've already been winning. You know what I'm saying? So, and the attitude that you have is going to keep going. Please don't lose that attitude, brother, because it's something I think that the artists like you need to win so you can put this out there to the world as far as this positive energy.
I really appreciate it. This is who I am, man, so... I think a fake me will probably be real whack and boring. So the real me is what you get. And this
that's
is it.
Up.
I mean, I'm glad, you know, y'all appreciated it because this is what it is.
Well, yep. we got to let people know where they could get the project, man. I'm pretty sure they're going to want to check it out. Any performances you got coming up, just lay it all out for the listeners, how we can find Jason's work, where you will be if you're performing or if you're going to start performing anytime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, we'll start with the project. Impatiently Waiting came out in 2005. If you just Google Jay Stone Impatiently Waiting, it's everywhere online now. We had it in stores when it came out, but now it's everywhere digitally from iTunes to Zoom. Also, in 2010, we dropped Home for Christmas, which is my first and only today Christmas album. It has original Christmas music. And, you know, the classics, it's got my brother, it's got Deuce on there from BWMG. It's available on CD Baby and iTunes. And Heart of Stone, we put it on our website, breadwinner.biz. and CD Baby in high school, but every day when I Google it, like, somebody else is selling it. So now Google Play, Amazon, Windows Media, Zoom, and Xbox Music all have Heart of Stone. So no matter what phone, computer, tablet, watch, whatever you got that can connect to the internet can connect you to Heart of Stone. So it's everywhere. Just search J Stone, Heart of Stone. And also, as far as appearances, like that, since the album dropped, the phone's been ringing, the email been blowing up. We have something major we're working on in Houston for the 27th. I can't really go into details until the paperwork is right. But my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook is updated constantly. So if you're interested, there'll always be some information there. And I'll definitely keep you guys posted so y'all can, let your listeners know, and we can hop back on here and talk for another hour or however y'all want to do it.
That sounds great, my brother. Please give
me
your social networks.
Social media. The Instagram is at IAMJStone, IAMJSTONE. My Twitter is at I_AM_JStone. And my Facebook is /IAMJStone, IAMJSTONE. And again, the website is breadwinner.biz. My brother's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is all Steve Stone, the breadwinner. And of course, if you need to contact us, like, immediately, D Will, he handles everything. D Will get it done. It's his Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and his phone number is 713-429-3283. He's like the hardest working man in show business. He definitely gets it done. So we're working. I'm trying to do everything that I can possibly do to just share my gifts with the world. And I appreciate y'all for the opportunity and opening up the platform for me to come on. And I appreciate everybody for listening. It's been an honor. And I thank you all so much.
Man, most definitely, man. We appreciate you taking the time and coming on the show. Everybody that called in to speak to you, your mother, Little Sniper, man. Like I said, we wish you the best of luck, man. We putting out that positive energy with you, man. So anything you got going on, you know you definitely got to let us know, and we're going to support that 100%. Let me bring Onyx back on. Man. Great interview with J Stone, man. This is dope. I know I have become a fan of the man, and I'm going to be following your music, brother. I wasn't around when y'all was 8 years old, but I'm around now, brother.
Hey, I promise you, me and Honest could probably talk like for hours about Frankfurt, Germany, and Edwards Village, and the youth center, and the Shotgun, and all that. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday, and I'm like 20-something years old now.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to thank you so much.
Beautiful time to grow up. Like, I'm thankful. I love it. We had fun. Her brother was actually the first person I ever got in a fight with. I credit that as my first fight. But yeah, and her family, like, we know each other, It's not like we just kind of know of each other. She's definitely family, and her entire family. Please give them all my love.
I will, and it's funny, every time we all get together, it's like everybody gets older and grow up, and it's crazy. It's crazy to see everybody growing up and whatnot, but, you know, it's nice to see that we're all still here doing it and pursuing and moving forward and progressing. We want to thank you so much for taking this time, and, you know, one of the great things about being on our show is that our audience, this is online and this is audio, so they expect to hear, they want to hear you talk. They want to hear this story.
Yeah.
They want to hear that. Well, they need to, and they want to, and it does, like what Golden said, create fans and people that can really be interested in what you've got going on. So we thank you, and you're definitely most certainly welcome back anytime. We have your records. We will be playing them. And everybody, make sure you get Heart of Stone. And that is a dope album, by the way. So make sure you do get that. Is there anything else that you would want to share with anybody listening?
Just once again, thank God for the gift. Thank God for all of his blessings. You know, he chose me to do what I'm doing, and I'm eternally grateful.
And I want to thank my mom and my family, my brother, my sister, for all of their support over the years. You know, my brother jumping in here and doing this thing with me, my sister continuing to do her thing, watching her brothers, you know, go here, there, and everywhere, and her holding it down, and my mom just being there, my immediate team, London and Kalo. I have a bunch of beautiful people around me every day, and I'm just blessed, and I just want to thank everybody. That's it. No more promotion, no more nothing. Just thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
There you go.
Amazing, amazing. That's awesome. Stay like that. Thank you so much, and you have a great rest of the evening.
You too. I'm going to eat nachos.
Already. Hey, that's the homie Golden always. That's the first thing he does every Wednesday after the show. He's like, yo, I'm about to go get something to eat. So,
yeah, I'm like, we about to reconvene, but let me get something to eat.
Boy, something like, no idea. Thank y'all so much. Y'all have a good night, all right?
All right, take care, brother.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, man, Golden, it is I'm excited that we had those two guests on tonight. What beautiful, humbling, just inspiring people. Like, just, you know,
yeah.
different generations, different genres, different paths and lives. But the things that they brought tonight to the show, just their personalities, their perspective on life as a whole, that was just really touching. And I hope that I'm sure anybody that listened took away something. If not all of it from
oh yeah, you learned some if you listened tonight. I mean, you had you had a guy that's been in the business for 20 years strong with the I'm talking about arguably the best hip hop group ever in life. You know, like there are people that argue that every day, and most of it. Them say Wu-Tang Clan, hands down, sharing his experience. Then you got a young man, R&B singer, grew up in a great family, putting his gift out there to the world and letting you know how he appreciates life, why he appreciates life, the structure that was laid down for him. And if you didn't learn anything from this show, you know, like I said, you was looking for a gossip night for somebody to say something crazy
right.
and shit. Well, you're not going to get that every night. You know what I'm saying? You're
right.
just not going to do that. You got to have some substance in your life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, just go TiVo, Love and Hip Hop. I'm sure, you know, they got some shit on there for you to go, ooh, ah, you know. But sometimes you got to get some soul food. You feel what I'm saying? You got to hear what's going on with people that's actually activated in this game, actually won for 20 years in this game. You got a young brother that won Apollo. Like I said, I know what Apollo, they come looking to boo you. You
yes,
know what I'm saying?
Do.
So when you get up there and you shine, that is a great feeling of accomplishment, and you're not going to know how that feels unless you did it. And for that young man to have done it, that is an accomplishment in itself. You know what I'm saying? So congrats to him. But, yeah, wrap it up in a nutshell. Great show.
Great, amazing show. And you guys, as you know, this broadcast is available for you to go back and listen. And you can do just that as soon as we conclude tonight. So it should be up by tomorrow. And then also, just so you guys know, this is the radio station, again, via JermaineDupreeGlobal14.com, so you can check out that site. He is with Mariah Carey tonight. They may have already done so, but they did the NBC Christmas special, the lighting of the tree, and Golden gave us some insight onto how that goes down and how, you know, where it takes place and all of that in New York. And we'll be back next week. We actually have DJ Paul coming on the line from 3-6 Mafia. So, we're going to get to know what it felt like to win that Oscar and see what they've got coming up. So you guys make sure you tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific. And we did have Soul Train Awards that happened, but, you know who won. You've seen all the stories, so we don't need to recap any of that.
Nah. Shout out to the Soul Train Awards, though. I was excited to see the homie Keith Sweat come up there and do his thing. You know what I'm saying? It was a good show. So shout out to the Soul Train Awards.
For doing their thing, absolutely. Shout out to everyone that called in tonight. Special callers, especially three songs long. That was really special. Love to hear that he started at age two. That's crazy. Shout out to our staff, Lamont. He was holding down the tech board, getting all those calls through. And, yeah, we're going to go ahead and ride out and call it a night. You can follow me and everything that we've got going on at Onyx254 on Twitter, Global14, and Instagram.
And you can hit me up on Twitter at TheGlue, THAGLUE, on Global14, Golden Fleece, on Instagram, The, THA, Golden Fleece. Looking forward to hearing from y'all, you know what I'm saying? And shout out to everybody that was listening tonight.
Most definitely. We're going to actually ride out, hopefully, with no pause in between. Wu-Tang, Four Horsemen.
Yes.
That's
Four
rough.
Horsemen.
I'm your highness, your highest title, numero uno. Kudos, they clone Chulo like Naruto. Your man super, grand groover on that fan buka. Mass mover, automatic rap, Ruger clap. Black, I bleed for my brother. You know, the wolves stay fed cause they feed on each other. I got a G for a mother, Cynthia's son. Take the game like three at the buzzer. Harder than a prison wall, hitting y'all all up in critical condition. It's official with my clicking ball. Listen, y'all. Sir, I certify anything other than the facts to falsify. They idolize I, one line of wise guys. Leave them eyes wide inside the gravel pit, spitting cyanide. Dark splash, hot enough to walk glass. When the shark pass, piranhas part pass.
I'm kinda spoiled, cause everything I want I got made. I never feared, got everything from choppers to blades. They gave me reds, and all of them they knew I want haze. When I was flipping that night, me and the rental with caves. Some kids across town thought I was amazed, knew I was fronting. I had the army and rangers, most of us popping pain, selling drugs in the rain, trying to make money, maintain and build me a train. Deal with facts, only no slang, that's only for dames. We would run up in the building, taxing niggas for change. Rockin' frames, locking names, taking sneakers and chains. Leaving stuff out of luck, you should have bought you your flames. But you didn't, this could happen to a king or a queen. Be on point next time and don't be bringing no lanes. Cause if you fuck up the next time, it might make you famous. Might bump into a gunman who only want brains and shit.
I'm talented, yes, I'm gifted. Never boosted, never shoplifted.
I get the cash, see money over tricks in, but keep a snow bunny in the kitchen. The hood still love me cause I'm different. See, that's the difference. I talk greasy, my hands greasy, that's the chicken. It's that easy, my flow fat cause I'm that greedy. You gotta feed me in stacks, what up the crack, PD? State property, yeah. Racially profiled. State troopers stopping me, I'm low down. Dirty, it's a shame, I should slow down. Kick off my shoes, put my coat down. Separate the oil from the coke now. Pennies got plenty, yet I still won't mow. Kinda like a fiend with 35, but still won't flow. 85% still don't know that it's 100%. Like y'all rappers trying to steal my flow.
I got it made from everything.